Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour. We are thrilled to have you with us today as we embark on a journey to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our key ministries dedicated to sharing the transformative and uplifting message of the gospel far and wide. Each week, we provide inspiring teachings, uplifting stories, and heartfelt prayers that connect you with the profound truths of Scripture. Our mission is to spread hope, love, and faith, and we invite you to join us in this vital endeavor as we seek to impact lives across the globe. Thank you for tuning in, and together, let us celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we have a missionary text taken from John chapter 20, verse 21, which says, "And Jesus said unto them, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." This is one of the last statements that Jesus made before he ascended back to the Father. He had already rose from the dead, and he was about ready to ascend to the Father when he made this statement. And I think this is sort of marching orders for the Church of Jesus Christ in this day and age, that we should see the fields that are white unto harvest and pray ye the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers into the harvest field. I believe more than any other day, we need more and more people to seek the Lord's face and surrender to His will. And I'm sure if we do that, we'll have many more people responding to the gospel, but also responding to full-time service overseas. And so I pray that all of us could remember to ask the Lord to send workers out into His harvest field.
I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do.
Saved by His power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved.
When poor and needy and all alone, in love He said,
come unto me and I lead you home to live with me eternally.
Saved by His power divine,
I am saved
to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm
hello, and welcome to another inspiring episode of Mission Moments. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go, bringing you the latest updates from the mission field. This week, we are excited to spotlight Mission Go's unwavering commitment to spreading the gospel and nurturing local Christian communities worldwide. As part of Canada's National Bible Hour and Mission Go ministry, we celebrate the dedicated individuals who embark on these journeys to preach, build genuine relationships, and address the needs of those they serve. Their outreach aims to share the gospel's transformative power. This week, I would like to share a story from Curaçao, sharing light and love in Curaçao. The work in Curaçao continues to be a vibrant tapestry of sharing faith, ministering to diverse needs, and building community. Particularly evident during the recent Christmas season and the beginning of the new year, our commitment to evangelism remains strong. We actively engage with the local community, seizing opportunities to share the gospel in various settings. This past December, we took our group of young and new believers
fresh from their basic Bible course, a group of to the bustling downtown Thursday night shopping event. It was inspiring to witness them put their learning into practice, modeling gospel sharing after our initial guidance. One lady was so enthusiastic, she even changed her work shift to participate again the following week. We were blessed to pray with six individuals who expressed a desire for salvation and countless others who were considering this life-changing decision. Our encounters are not always met with immediate acceptance, as some individuals questioned our faith, even dismissing it as fairy tales. However, our personal testimonies serve as a powerful and irrefutable witness. One particularly moving experience involved stopping three young men to inquire about their thoughts on Christmas. This simple question opened a door to share the gospel and our testimonies. To our surprise, they were deeply interested. We presented them with the invitation to repent, believe, and follow Jesus, and all three responded with an immediate desire to do so. Amidst the busy crowd, we had the privilege of leading these two brothers and their friend, visiting from Aruba, with one residing in the USA, in prayer. We were able to connect them with a contact in Aruba, trusting God for their continued growth in faith. Ludd also experienced a divine appointment, encountering a young man sitting alone, seemingly waiting for someone to share hope. He grasped the message clearly and asked Jesus to save him just before his ride arrived. Beyond evangelism, our ministry extends to discipleship and support for believers. The workshop we conducted for the 69 new believers was a significant step in their journey. We also recognize the importance of caring for the holistic needs of our community. During the Christmas holidays, we faced the challenging situation of a mental breakdown experienced by a member of our church, Nuris. Ludd, having recently completed a course on biblical coaching and mental health, stepped in to provide crucial support. It was a difficult time as Nuris experienced psychosis and required hospitalization. We were able to assist her sister and niece, who came from Colombia, by providing food and helping with the necessary paperwork for Nuris's return home. Ludd also offered coaching to the family to help them understand the situation. We continue to trust and pray for Nuris's well-being. Our annual Christmas Eve outreach remains a cherished tradition, though this year we limited the numbers to 22 due to tiredness. We were delighted to welcome a Chinese couple, one of whom is a very talented artist, who, despite the language barrier, the husband only speaks Mandarin, enthusiastically participated in all the activities. They, along with another couple without family in Curaçao, expressed deep gratitude for the invitation. New Year's Eve was spent at home with others who lack family nearby, fostering a sense of belonging. Looking ahead, we are actively preparing for upcoming workshops and the need for printing materials. We also have potential opportunities to travel to Bonaire and Aruba for a conference and workshops this year, and a group is interested in attending the ICCI conference in September. We humbly request prayers for good health, wisdom, and love as we prepare and communicate, trusting in God's provision and will for these endeavors. Why would someone seek to work with us in this mission field? Individuals may feel called to partner with us for several compelling reasons, rooted in the diverse and impactful nature of our ministry, a passion for evangelism and discipleship, our consistent and proactive approach to sharing the gospel in public spaces and nurturing new believers provides ample opportunities for those with a heart for outreach and spiritual growth. The excitement of witnessing individuals come to faith firsthand is a powerful motivator. Engagement with diverse communities, we interact with a wide range of people from different backgrounds and nationalities, including locals, visitors from Aruba, and individuals from other parts of the world, such as the Chinese couple who joined our Christmas Eve outreach. This offers a rich and varied mission experience. Opportunities for growth and leadership. Our work involves training and equipping new believers to share their faith, suggesting opportunities for those interested in leadership development and mentoring others, participating in workshops and potentially conferences in other locations like Bonaire and Aruba could also offer valuable growth experiences. A strong sense of community and partnership. We work closely as a team, as evident in the mention of Ludd and I, and involve others in our ministry activities. This fosters a supportive and collaborative environment for those seeking to serve alongside like-minded individuals. Trusting God's provision, our reliance on prayer, and faith in God's provision for our ministry endeavors, including travel and resources, may appeal to those who desire to work in a faith-based environment where spiritual principles are central. In essence, someone seeking a dynamic mission experience that combines direct evangelism, meaningful discipleship, compassionate care, and engagement with a diverse community would find a fulfilling partnership with our work in Curaçao. The opportunities to witness God's transformative power in individual lives and contribute to the building of His kingdom are abundant here. Thank you for listening to this week's report from the Mission Field.
Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we would like to make available another booklet about the power of praying through fear, a book of prayers, by Stormy O'Marchan. Find the peace you long for amid the things that frighten you with the help of this collection of prayers from Stormy O'Marchan. Each prayer is paired with a scripture verse so you can steady your heart and mind on the truth of God's Word. To order your copy of the booklet, The Power of Praying Through Fear, a book of prayers by Stormy O'Marchan, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Mission Go, St. Catharines, Ontario, postal code L2R7A7, or in the United States, box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231. Today's message is from Reverend Art Larson, as entitled, Beware. I'm sure you will enjoy this message very much. Printed copies are available upon request.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Charles Dickens used these thought-provoking words in opening his famous novel, A Tale of Two Cities. Though they described Europe in the early 18th century, they could properly be used to picture the United States and Canada today. We live in the best of times and the worst of times. Scientifically, we've seen fantastic advance. Man has attained such speed in travel that he now looks forward to and is exploring the solar system. He's split and fused the atom, giving him the key to enormous unleashed power. The field of communications has literally exploded. First, there was just the human voice, then writing, then the breakthrough of the printing press, then radio, and now worldwide television and the internet. Our world today is indeed a global village. Yes, in some ways these are the best of times, but in other ways they are the worst of times. Technology has brought a host of benefits, but it has also brought its difficulties. Someone has said humorously, take one of our more simple problems for example. We live in rectangular boxes we call houses. They keep heat in and hold cold out. But inside the boxes, it's too warm for food. So we built another rectangular box, refrigerator, to keep food cold inside the box we made to keep us warm, our home. But inside the box for food, it gets too cold for butter, so we make another box to keep the butter warm. Advancing civilization has provided many solutions for many problems, but it's also created many other problems. It has brought heart transplants, computers, supersonic travel, but it's also given us nuclear warfare, the problems of our society today of hatred and violence, the tragedy of abortion, terrorism on every hand, war and rumor of war. A traveler today can circle the globe in a matter of hours, but millions of people are confused about the directions of their daily lives. Illegal drugs infest our youth cultures from grade school right through college and on into the adult years. Crime is rampant in our streets. Corruption spreads like creeping mold throughout our nation. I could go on and on. All you need to do is listen to the news and read the paper. Who is behind all this? Peter was very concerned that we should know. This is the final message in a series about last words for last days from the pen of Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, I know that I must shortly put off this tabernacle. I'm going to leave this body. So I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I want to remind you of the things you already know but so easily forget. And we have been studying in a series of messages, 2 Peter chapter 3. In these last words for last days, Peter says in the first 7 verses, be mindful of the truth. There are 5 B's. This is the first one. Be mindful of the truth of Scripture, God's holy word, the Bible, and the truth that in the last days there will be scoffers who will make fun of the Bible, who will ridicule and mock the promise of His coming, the creation of the world, the flood that once destroyed the world. But God says that someday the same word which keeps the heaven and earth in store will be destroyed by fire, and in that day of judgment, all the ungodly men will be destroyed with it. Be mindful of the truth. Then in verses 8, 9, and 10, he says, be not ignorant of the time of his promise that he's coming back, of his plan that he waits and is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, the patience of God! As the day of the Lord is coming, and it will come as a thief in the night. We are not to be ignorant of the time. That day should not overtake us who know the Lord Jesus. If you don't know him, it will overtake you. You'll be left behind through terrible tribulation and the judgment of God. And then someday, the elements will melt with fervent heat, and the earth and all the works that are in it shall be burned up, and all things will be dissolved, and there will be new heavens and a new earth. So Peter says in verses 11, 12, and 13, be holy in your testimony. Since all these things in this world are going to be dissolved, don't live for here, live for there. Don't live for now, live for then. Don't live for this world, live for the glory of God and for eternity. Live for heaven with heaven's values in view. And then we saw in verses 14 through 16, be diligent in the task. Be diligent, stand by your commitment, share your faith, and study the Word of God. Don't be unlearned and unstable. Don't twist the Scriptures. Be found of Him when He comes in peace, without spot and blameless. And then we saw, having seen, be mindful of the truth, be not ignorant of the time. Be holy in your testimony, be diligent in your task. We see today in verses 17 and 18, beware of the tempter. It's the last thing Peter closes his letter with. He closes in 2 Peter chapter 3 with a reminder of Satan, just as he closed his first letter in chapter 5 when he said, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Peter must be remembering what Jesus once said to him before he denied his Lord while he was still on the earth. That is, Jesus on the earth with his disciples. He said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Peter failed. Peter was tripped up by the devil. He said he'd never deny his Lord, but he denied him 3 times. He went out and wept bitterly, but he was reunited to his Lord. He was then filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and mightily used of God. And he knows how subtle Satan is, and so he says, you therefore, beloved, 2 Peter 3, 17 and 18, seeing that you know these things, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked or the wicked one, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The word beware means constantly on your guard. It's a Greek word that's used in reference to something of extreme value, to be watched over and guarded and protected. Beware. When I read of all the awful things that are happening today, be aware of the fact that Satan is behind all of this. God is giving him unusual liberties in this day, and Satan has certainly been the one who leads people away with error. Today, Satan will do what he can to keep you out of heaven and to take you to a Christless eternity in the lake of fire and brimstone where he is destined to be. Listen to what he does. Some of you fall into this category. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them who are lost. You're lost today. You're not going to heaven. You're not saved. You're not ready to die. You're lost. Because the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And if he can't do that, he will try to keep you from the will of God if you are a Christian. That's why John says, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world system, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world system, of which Satan is in control, is these three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And these are not of the Father, they're of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You see, Satan would love, he would love to either destroy you through unbelief or keep you from doing the will of God and missing God's best in your life. So Peter, at the end of 2 Peter 3, says, beware lest you also, even though you know these things before, are led away with the error of the wicked one and fall from your own steadfastness. Paul was so concerned. He wrote in 2 Corinthians 11 to the believers there, he said in verse 3, I fear lest by any means, he'll use any means, my friend, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his craftiness, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. In other words, Satan by any means will try to lead you away with the error of himself. Satan is so subtle, my friend. He is so subtle. And the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is the avenue through which he works. You remember our first parents, Adam and Eve, and they fell into sin in the garden. And in Genesis chapter 3, Satan came to Eve and said, you shall not surely die if you eat of the fruit of the tree, which God said you cannot. For God knows that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be open, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Now notice Genesis 3:6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's the lust of the flesh. She wanted the food, the lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, that's the lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, that's the pride of life. She took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and they fell into sin, and sin passed upon all men, and death by sin, and we have reaped the awful consequences ever since. Satan is so subtle. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, who stepped out of eternity into time, who came from heaven to this world, who took upon him a human form when he began his earthly ministry at approximately age 30, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Fasted 40 days and 40 nights and was hungry, and Satan came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, command the stones to be made bread. There it is again, the lust of the flesh. Fulfill what you want. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into a holy city and set him in a pinnacle of the temple and said, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down. It's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. The lust of the eyes. People would see him coming down protected by God. They would believe on him. And then last of all, Jesus having said again, it's written, thou shalt not tempt, put the Lord God to the test. Again, the devil took him into a exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kings of the world and the glory of them, the kingdoms, and said, all these will I give you if you'll fall down and worship me. You see the pride of life. And Jesus said, begone, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Oh, he's going to use the same method on you, my friend, and on me. And Peter says, beware of the tempter, lest you, even though you know these things, are led away with the error of the wicked, and you fall from your own steadfastness. But, he says, rather grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. Amen. to feel the tempter's mighty power without appeal, to know the pull that money has and never kneel, to be entranced by honor's glare and have no urge, to see the passing sights of sin and not submerge, to be uplifted, lauded high, and sense no pride, to gain an orator's great fame and never stride, to be exalted to the skies, yet self-disdain, to be condemned and set aside, yet not complain. This is victory. Are you growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know Him better than you knew Him last week this time? Do you know Him better now than you knew Him a week ago? Do you know Him better now than you knew Him a year ago? Are you growing in grace? If it's not of grace, it's not of God. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, can you say, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, and be made conformable unto His death? The only important thing in these last days in a world that is passing away and will be utterly burned up, and a new heavens and new earth will be established wherein dwells righteousness. The only thing that matters is that you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, and that you live in obedience to His will and purpose for your life. Let me repeat again once what Warren Wiersbe once said: when the child of God looks into the Word of God and sees the Son of God, he or she is changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. Peter's last words for last days are our words today. Be mindful of the truth. Be not ignorant of the time. Be holy in your testimony. Be diligent in the task. And beware of the tempter. When the drama of human history is over, Jesus Christ will stand alone upon the stage. And all other world leaders of any generation will realize they were but bit players, actors in a drama produced and directed by the sovereign God of the universe. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
As we draw this broadcast to a close, we at Mission Go and Canada's National Bible Hour want to express our heartfelt prayers for you. We hope the messages you've heard today and the inspiring stories from the mission field resonate deeply within you and ignite a passionate desire for a closer relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We encourage you to take a moment to immerse yourself in the wisdom of Scripture, reflecting on the beautiful invitation found in Matthew 11:28-29, where Jesus calls us to find rest in Him. May these words lift your spirit and guide you towards a more profound understanding of His love and purpose for your life. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, may God's grace and peace be with you all. Also, remember to order your copy of the booklet, The Power of Praying Through Fear, A Book of Prayers, by Stormy O'Martian. Find the peace you long for amid the things that frighten you with the help of this collection of prayers from Stormy O'Martian. Each prayer is paired with a scripture verse so you can steady your heart and mind on the truth of God's Word. To order your copy of this booklet, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Mission Go, St. Catharines, Ontario, postal code L2R7A, 7 or in the United States, Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231. Thank you for tuning in to Canada's National Bible Hour. We truly appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Remember, this program is made possible by your generous support, and we couldn't continue sharing these uplifting messages without you. If you have any questions or want to discuss our broadcast further, contact Tammy Campbell, our dedicated producer, at tjcampbell@missiongo.org. We love hearing from you. Until next time, take care, and may God bless you richly. We look forward to having you with us again soon.